By using digital technology, this can also give such easiness or positive impact for the sake of progress of science for the teachers and also for students as the main point. That's why this is really important to know about how does digital technology work not only for students but also for teachers as the one who give or transfer science to students. So don't worry, where stay tuned at www.voice.id because after this song we'll be right back to accompany you again. The song that we've already prepared is a song from Agatha Chelsea with title 8 Huruf. Enjoy the song.
What we heard today. up late just to hold you. I don't wanna do what we used to do. Oh, I don't care.
Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, finally, after, you know, listening music, that means that this is the right time for me to share you, to interview with our at the program of Voice Talk with the theme digital technology in the learning process. And listener, now we have been listener, also our viewers, we have been connected with Dr. U.S. Khairuman as Educational Technology Lecturer, Faculty of Education, Universitas Negeri Jakarta. Assalamualaikum,
good
Pak
afternoon.
Khairuman.
Waalaikumsalam. Good afternoon, everybody.
Okay, how are you today, Pak Khairuman?
I'm fasting right now.
Yes, I'm still fasting, so I believe that you're also still fasting, Pak Khairuman.
Yeah.
So, how is everything, Pak Khairuman?
Ah, very good. I'm a little bit a cup right now, but it's okay. I'm still passing until right now.
Oh, great. Still, yeah, still keep stronger, eh, okay. Pak Herman, up to until Maghrib prayer.
Yeah. And we are going to have a great discussion after this.
That's great, okay. Pak Herman. Now, the theme of our interview is now digital technology in the learning process. Actually, Pak Herman, we know that digital technology is really important to scientifically support the learning process, not only for teacher but also for students, right? Okay.
Now living in a digital era. So digital technology will very important in our sector of our life, including in our education. Not only education, the way we shopping, the way we sport, the way we do everything, we always related to the digital technology right now.
So it is that when you are as a lecturer, when you try to see or to transfer knowledge to your students, I believe that by using digital technology, this can also give such easiness, yeah, Pak Herman, yeah, for your students.
Yeah, I think with digital technology, we have some opportunity to make our students to study anytime, anywhere, any places. and I may add something, any other any, I don't know. Yeah, so the learning process will become more flexible, more open, and more distributed.
Okay. Pak Herman, actually, what are the challenges? Yeah, what are the challenges faced in implementing digital
not only,
learning?
In the not. Some people may say that the challenge is related to the infrastructure of information and communication technology, but I think it's not the main of challenge, because the infrastructure such as information and communication technology is only about the physical things. It can be solved by, you know, the money. Okay. The most challenging one is how to change the mindset of the educators, students, and decision makers related to the education system in all countries, of course, as well as in Indonesia.
Hmm. And then? Pak Herman? Okay, well, viewers, listeners, it seems that...
Yeah, yes. Our mindset. Yes.
Pak Herman?
Can you hear my voice? Yeah.
Yeah, it seems that there's such technical problem. It seems that we cannot hear your voice so clearly.
The connection, right, Herman. Okay, perhaps.
Okay. Pak Herman?
Okay.
We know that by knowing and, you know, implementing digital technology, this can also... This can also give such easiness, yeah, for the teachers and also students when they try to learn about knowledge. So actually, what kind of the best infrastructure, Pak Herman, that can make students also understand and also make them interested in doing or learning process, Pak Herman? Well, listener, it seems that
the infrastructure, for example, I think there are some. Can you hear my voice?
Pak Herman?
Yeah?
It seems that there is such technical problem that
okay, let me change my place. Perhaps there is no connection over here.
Wait.
Okay. Wait a minute. Is it okay?
Okay. We can hear your voice clearly, Pak Herman. Just go ahead, Pak Herman. Go ahead.
Okay. I mentioned that the main challenge is not only the infrastructure, I think, because infrastructure such as information and communication infrastructure is only a physical thing. It can be solved by money. Okay. But the most challenging one is how to change our mindset about teaching and learning in the digital era. It is very, very important. So I'd like to share with you the definition of digital learning. Yes, The digital learning is actually creating learning experience using digital technologies. So the most important thing is the way how teacher can utilize those technology appropriately for the purpose of teaching and learning. So it is not really about the infrastructure, but it is really about creating learning experiences with those technology. So I'd like to share the idea about this in this conversation, Pak.
Okay. So, What are the roles, Pak Herman? What are the roles of teachers and also other human resources in integrating digital technology into the learning process, actually?
Okay. Let us use the framework from the UNESCO. Yeah. I work as an educational technology specialist in the Ministry of Education since 2002, and in 2006 I was involved with UNESCO to categorize the use of ICT in school. There are two categories. There are two big categories. The first one is learning to use ICT, and the second one is using ICT to learn. In what level right now in Indonesia? Okay, before COVID-19, we are struggling making some policy and program to promote the use of ICT in education, but it didn't work well until COVID-19 comes. Okay, and right now, I think in Indonesia and some of country in the world, already changed from the learning to use ICT, which is ICT become a subject in the school, to using ICT to learn. It means integrating ICT into teaching and learning process. So that is the most important thing we have to consider when we talk about digital learning in school or higher education.
So this is really important, yeah, Pak Herman, yeah, to know about the experiences of this digital learning. So talking about that, that means that after learning by using that, like you said before, Pak Herman, it means that there will be such benefit, yeah, that we will get.
Yeah. When we integrate ICT or digital technology into teaching and learning process, we will have a benefit to educate our students to become 21st century learners. Mm. Yeah, I mean that their critical thinking skills, their communicative skills, their digital literacy, etc. will be promoted. Let me give an example. For example, a teacher asked a student to make a vlog. This is a kind of project. Yeah, a teacher give a project to a student to make a vlog how they help their parents in preparing for food for fasting. Yeah. Okay. We can compare when teacher explain what kind of ilmu pengetahuan alam, science, technology, yeah, forage rice, etc. When the teacher ask the student to make a project, it will become using ICT, for example. They are asking to make some blog, and they have to make some interesting vlog with it. Nah, we call it as integrating ICT into teaching and learning process. So another example is, for example, an English teacher, teaching about procedure text, how to do something, right? One teacher explained to student, when you do something, you may ask the first like this, the second one like this, second one like this. Okay, it is a common teacher. But when a teacher assigns a project to a student, make a vlog, how to make something that is very, very different, that is teaching with digital technology. So digital learning is something like that.
Okay. All right, Pa Herman, it seems that just stay there, and we are going to listen to about our music to after this song. We'll be right back to continue our interview.
Okay.
tentang katulistiwa untukku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, also our viewers, now let's continue our Voice Talk with Dr. Uwes Hairuman. Pak Hairuman?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm really interested what you said before talking about ICT, Pak Hairuman, that can experience or really support about the learning process, I mean, in this case. So, how often, Pak Hairuman, do you use ICT when you teach your university students? It means that this can also give such, improving, yeah, I mean, capacity building, yeah, maybe, Pak Hairuman.
Yeah, for myself, as a lecturer in the State University of Jakarta, I have been teaching online since before COVID-19, actually. Until now, I'm teaching full online for my students. Not all lecturer in Universitas Negeri Jakarta teaching online, but I teach full online because I pick the subject that can be teach fully online. Okay, it doesn't mean that all subject can be teach full online because some subject cannot be teach by full online. But I pick some of the subjects that I can teach fully online for my teacher. I mean, so I use synchronous learning activity by using web conference, just like now by Zoom, for example. And I use asynchronous technology, or we call learning management system, to make students can be able to learn anytime, anywhere, by using learning management system, our learning management system in Universitas of Negeri Jakarta.
Okay, so still talking about digital learning, Pak Hairuman, actually, how can digital learning improve students' ability or capability to think, I can say, critically and also solve the problems?
Okay, the secret is the pedagogic model actually, Pak.
Pedagogic, yes.
Pedagogic model, because the pedagogic model is very important. You know the technological and pedagogical content knowledge. We are all about this. Lecturer have to able to have the content knowledge, right? As well as pedagogic knowledge. And the lecturer have to be able to combine about pedagogic and content knowledge with technology. So we call it as technological and pedagogical content knowledge. That is why when I, for example, I want to have a lecture with our student, then I use synchronous technology. One of the platform we use for synchronous technology is web conference. Some of them are Zoom Cloud Meeting, Google Meet, or MS Teams, etc. So we can make a virtual synchronous learning with our students. Mm-hmm. And we can follow up the lesson by using asynchronous technology. What are they? The first one is learning management system. We provide content for our students, we provide discussion forum, we provide assignment, and we can follow up the communication with other tools such as social media. Mm-hmm. I used to use WhatsApp group because it's very familiar with our students. Sometimes I use Trello to make a project assignment. But the secret is the pedagogic model we use in the teaching and learning process for higher education. There are two approach I use for my students. The first one is case-based teaching method. And the second one is project-based learning. Okay. The quality of using something like case-based and project-based learning for our students, I think relatively the same between online learning and face-to-face. So, not the technology that makes it different. What makes difference is pedagogic model we use. So not digital learning technology, no, but the pedagogic model we use. Okay, when I conduct, for example, synchronous teaching and learning by web conference, okay, of course, I will write a case. Okay, for example, I am teaching introductory to learning organization. Okay, one of the issue is the learning organization is, for example, the change in technology and customer expectation. Okay, in a web conference, I will ask the student why BlackBerry failed. Yes, and why, for example, Nokia failed, and how iOS and Android until now it's still success. So that is the key. That is the key to make our learning is more engaging and more experiential for our students. So the learning process become more meaningful compared to we lecture them with this time. Learning organization is, according to Peter Singh, is like the operational mark what like that. Okay, so it would be better if you write the case and promote the case, ask the student to analyze, to make some research about the case, make some conclusion together in web conference. Mm-hmm. And we can follow up it with some project related to the case by case. So I think for higher education, there are three kind of pedagogical approach. Mm-hmm. The first one is problem-based, the second one is case-based teaching method, and the third one is project-based learning. This is the secret of my teaching and learning process when I teaching our students fully online.
Okay.
Okay.
Pak Herman, I'm still wondering what you said before about you have been teaching online ya for many years ya, especially
for many years,
before COVID ya, Pak COVID-19 yeah. Pak Herman. So I believe that you are able to you are able to consider, I mean, about the role ya, the role of teaching online. And also when you teach directly in the class, I believe that this has such difference, yeah, Pak Herman. Yeah. I mean, about the success of students in trying to understand about the lecturer's instruction or explanation, actually.
Yeah.
So, how big does it influence the success of students in understanding about the lecturer's instruction or explanation, Pak Herman?
I'm very sure that it is very very it's worth for my student, because if you ask my student they will say I am very very confident and I'm very very understand when they have a lecture with me. But there is a secret, yeah. I use a COI framework, but COI means Community of Inquiry framework. Some people may consider that in online learning there is no presence, but actually there are some presences. The first one is social presence, cognitive presence, and teaching presence. Nah. And the other thing is immediate feedback. Okay, for example, what is social presence? When I provide assignment, I will hello my student, how are you? That is social presence. Okay, and I will trigger with some question or something that challenging for them. It is cognitive presence. The way I arrange social and cognitive presence, it means that I am teaching. It is teaching presence, right? Okay. When our student submit the assignment, I will call her name. And I will provide them emoticon. And some, it is social presence. Okay. And I will quote, or I will read the assignment, or I watch their assignment. I make some notes, give some feed forward or feedback to them. It means I appreciate their cognitive presence, right? And I provide some feed forward for them. It means I am teaching them, right? Okay. And one more, I did it as immediately as possible. Okay, if the due date is on March 2nd, for example, at least 24 hours after due date, I have to provide them with some feedback and remark, grading them. Okay, you remember when you are in the college, for example, you submit the assignment, put them on your on the lecturer table, your professor table. 1 week you have not you are not have any feedback at all, right?
Yes.
Okay, but it cannot. Do not do it in online learning. Do not try it at home in online learning. You should provide immediately as possible of your feedback and grading. That is the secret. it is a framework from Garrison et al. We call it as a Community of Inquiry framework, and it works.
Okay.
It really, really works for my students.
So even until now, Pa Herlin, it means that you will never teach offline again?
No, it depends on the subject.
Okay.
I was assigned to teach, for example, photography. No, I cannot teach online. So I'll pick some introductory or the foundation of educational technology or etc.
Okay. Pa Herlin, I had also an experience in the past time when I was still a student, I mean a university student. I mean, it means that at the time when my lecturer came to the class, and even the same as my friends also, lots of university students at the time, they were happily learning the process of teaching by the lecturer. It means that we didn't feel difficult when the lecturer gave instruction or gave explanation. That is because the way or the character of the lecturer was really fine for us and really polite.
Yeah.
This was really, really related to, I mean, the way of he taught or he gave instruction. This also gave us easiness in learning process, in understanding about the lecturer's teaching.
Yes.
So we believe that this can also improve, this can also influence about the learning process, especially for students when they see directly the lecturer. Wow, this is my best lecturer. I like it. I like him. I mean, I like the way he teaches. That means that this also give us easiness, for the way of learning process, Pak Herudin.
Yes, I proving myself that I have to teach well to our student, even though I teach it online, because I want to prove that the way we teach is very important. The way we smile, the way we ask the student, the way we make abstract concept into more concrete, the way we relate the concept into the context, etc. It make a student easy to learn about this. So the homework for the teacher or lecturer is actually thinking about cases. Very contextual cases that it can more easy and be easy understand by our students. So this is my homework. For example, when I'd like to introduce the how customer expectation related to the learning organization, I have to think what kind of cases, okay, to make students understand about customer expectation related to the learning organization. How the globalization, etc. If we just tell them that some of the some factor that make the urgency of learning organization are, the first one is a global economy. We can explain in 10 minutes. Okay? And believe me, they will forget what we teach 1 second after they get out the classroom. If we cannot contextualize our concept, right, with some related cases. So for one concept, sometimes I have to prepare more than 2 cases. More than 2 cases, and it should be happen in synchronous learning, right? In synchronous learning by web conference, but it should be followed up by asynchronous online learning through learning management system. So we have to provide the correct, appropriate content and appropriate assignment or discussion forums. And it should be graded as immediately as possible. So behavioristic theory is still relate for this kind of online learning. Not only constructivism theory, but behaviorist theory still apply.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, Pak Herman, I'm really interested in, you know, interviewing you about what this case, what this theme, the title Digital Technology in the Learning Process. This is really more, and I believe that our listeners, our viewers would like to know much more about this, actually, Pak Herman. So, for the last question, Pak Herman, maybe do you have any message related to digital technology in the learning process, especially for lecturers and also for students?
Yeah, I think for lecturers, feel free to make some teaching and learning even fully online. But remember, but not all subject can be teach fully online, because we can the most wise way to teach in related to digital learning is blended learning, Pak. Yeah, we know that synchronous learning have advantages as well as disadvantages, right? Asynchronous learning also have so many advantages and disadvantages. Disadvantages of synchronous learning can be overcome by advantages of asynchronous learning. So it's vice versa. So we have to be wise to determine when we can teach face to face.
Yes.
When can we teach synchronous or when asynchronous learning? Okay. So the last statement is blended learning is more appropriate.
Blended learning, yes.
Blended learning and blended experience as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Pak Herodin, for your time and consultation to join our special review today on the Void Talk this afternoon.
You are very welcome.
Okay, thank you very much, Pak Herodin, well listener, and so our viewers, that was our special review with Educational Technology Lecturer, Faculty of Education, Universitas Negeri Jakarta, Dr. Uwes A. Khairuman. Don't get anywhere still, stay tuned on the voidnews.id. Because after this song, we'll be right back to accompany you again. Now, the song that we have already prepared is from... But what song, Faisal? Yes, the song is from Hir Rahmania Astini with title Tak Bisa. Enjoy the song.
Ketuk pintu di hatiku, meskipun ku tak mau kau dekati diriku. Namun saat aku buka pintu di hatiku, tiada lagi dirimu, kau menjauh dariku. Mengapa kini kau harus pergi? Di saat ku telah jatuh hati,
atas segalanya. Mengapa,
mengapa
dia tak berpihak pada cinta kita? Oh, hingga kemarau ku bersemi, izinkan aku menanti, kau buka pintu hatimu kembali. Oh, sayangku tak bisa dibuatmu kecewa, kau buatku mati rasa, meski ku bernyawa. Sayangku tak bisa kau
kecewa.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, also our viewers, it seems that we must end our togetherness, especially at the program of RRNet on Indonesia today. Thank you for listening and also watching us, and we are going to continue our Indonesia today.
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia today, only on VOI and RRNet.
luka.
Luka,
pergi saja. Maaf sayang, ku tak bisa. Dibuat ku kecewa.
Here is the news. The Jakarta Environmental Agency has included waste management up to 100% as a priority program and performance target in 2026. Head of the Jakarta Environmental Agency, Asep Kuswanto, in a written statement on Wednesday detailed that this management consists of waste handling reaching 70% and waste reduction 30%. PT Jasa Marga Persero is ready to provide a 20% discount on toll rates for Trans-Java toll road users during Lebaran 2025 homecoming and return period. On Thursday in Jakarta, Jasa Marga stated that the discount applies to all classes of vehicles at a certain times. That's the news.
Kenangan indahnya sang mentari membangunkanku dari tidur yang lelap ini. Sinarmu yang terang mulai memasuki mata dan mengusirku dari alam mimpi.
Dan kini ku berdegar agar siapkan
diriku untuk mulai menjalani hari ini.
Tak sabar ku temui
tersenyum menyambut datangnya pagi ini. Dan ku katakan berembun membasahi dunia dan mulai mengawali hari ini. Dan ku katakan kau burung bernyanyi, kesini ku siap untuk jalani hari ini. Siapkan dirimu untuk memulai menjalani hari ini.
Selamat pagi,
membasahi dunia dan mulai mengawali hari ini. Dan ku katakan kau burung bernyanyi, kesini ku siap menjalani hari ini. Dan mulai mengawali hari ini.
Tuhan.